As you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1, I just want to make one other announcement that will be in the bulletin next week, but the session has voted to collect a special offering for hurricane relief. The offering will go to Samaritan's Purse. So keep that in mind. The announcement will be next Sunday, and so I want you to know what's coming so you can be thinking about it. Mark chapter 1, our scripture passage this morning will be verses 14 through 20. This is the Word of God. Let us give it the attention it deserves. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Thus far, God's holy and inerrant word, it is the perfect rule for faith and life. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come to you and to this portion of your word, seeking your face and your favor. Lord, we want to hear your voice. And Father, we pray that you would give us ears to hear, but not just ears to hear, but minds to understand and hearts to embrace your word. And Father, by your Holy Spirit, give us wills to obey. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we looking for? You know, there are all kinds of advertisements on TV that purport to have the solution for everything in your life. Or at least your backache, or whatever it is that bothers you. And the sense you get is you do this and your life's going to be perfect. And all of these are symptoms of one thing that we're really looking for. What we're really looking for is a Savior King. Somebody who will make everything perfect. Who will rule us perfectly, who will guide us exactly the way we want to be guided, who will look out for us and take care of our every need. We're looking for a king. Ancient Israel was looking for a king. And God used their looking for a king to prophesy of a greater king to come. That is, King David, enthroned, was given a promise that his descendant would sit on his throne forever. And so there was this promise of a coming king, a deliverer. And in the day of Jesus, that desire for a deliverer was at a fever pitch. The Roman Empire ruled them, capricious, sometimes with an iron fist. And they longed for the coming of Messiah who would overthrow the oppressing power of Rome and establish the throne of David forever. They were looking for a coming king. And along comes Jesus. And he shows from the very outset that he is no ordinary king, for instead of picking up swords and riding on a white charger, he submits to the baptism of sinners, thereby showing that he has come to bear the sin of his people. And he has the anointing of the Holy Spirit, showing the approval of the Father and the Spirit and the Son's work. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in embarking upon this work of redeeming his people. And then we see him off in the wilderness being proven to be the Son of God by his resistance of the temptations of the devil. And now in the verses that are before us, what we hear is the kingdom of God announced. And there are three observations to be made here. First, notice the timing of the kingdom. The timing of the kingdom. It says, now after John was arrested... This is after John the Baptist was arrested. So this would have been about a year after the baptism of Jesus. Well, what was Jesus doing during that year? Well, you have to look at other Gospels to see that. And what Jesus was doing is he was ministering down in Judea. And more people were going after him, and people were, the crowds were abandoning John the Baptist and going off to follow Jesus, so much so that a couple of John's disciples said, Master, the one you baptized, everybody's following him. And John said, he must increase, I must decrease. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the one whose herald I am. Nobody follows the herald. Everybody follows the king. And so Jesus had been off in Judea, and more people are going after him. And the religious authorities are starting to take notice of this. And what they don't want is anybody disturbing the peace. They don't want the Roman authorities to get mad at them. And Jesus doesn't want that either, yet. And not wanting to provoke a premature crisis, Jesus leaves Judea and goes up into Galilee to preach the good news. And that's what it says. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. And what is the first thing he says? The time is fulfilled. The time is now. The time has come. All of past history, and especially that of God and his relationship with his people, has now reached its climax. It's coming to the climax in the age of salvation. And it is an appropriate season for fulfillment. In Malachi chapter 3, it says, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to the temple. And in Galatians 4, the Apostle Paul tells us, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. In other words, Christ came at exactly the right time, neither too early nor too late. Now we can talk about a lot of what that means. We can talk about just in terms of history, conditions were very favorable at the time. You had the Roman peace. You had Roman roads that would make it very easy for the gospel to spread throughout the known world within the space of about 100 years. There was a common language that the people spoke. And that's just in terms of the physical world. And then conditions were right. This was the time for the Messiah to come and to be born and to suffer and bleed and die and rise again. The time was fulfilled. The time is now. This is the timing of the kingdom. Sometimes we get the idea that God is a little slow. We get impatient. We want microwave Christianity. And God gives us a marathon. But dear friends, the timing of the kingdom is always exactly right. But notice secondly, observe not just the timing of the kingdom, but observe the message of the kingdom. It is the gospel. He's proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the good news. Now, if you think about it, good news can only be understood against the backdrop of the bad news. We got a call this past week that from our daughter, she had been in Iraq. And of course, you lead with the good news. The good news is, I'm okay. Well, great. I was in Iraq. Ah, that's what makes that news so good. Well, what's this good news that Jesus is proclaiming? Well, the bad news is that people are alienated from God. God created men and women to worship and glorify Him and to tend to the garden that He created. And our first parents rebelled against God by taking and eating the forbidden fruit. And we all, in them, also sinned. And we do all also sin ourselves, choosing to live life on our own terms, live our own way, do our own thing, with little or no reference to what God wants, what God has made us for. We have alienated ourselves from God. We have made ourselves His enemies, and what we deserve for our acts of cosmic treason is death. Eternal death and eternal dying in hell forever. That's bad. You know, if you're a sensitive soul, you know that's bad. You draw a recoil from it. But so much better the good news. The good news is the coming of the God-anointed King, to bring salvation from sin, forgiveness full and free to all who trust in Him. The good news is that God did not leave us in our sin, but God came and in the person of His Son was born as a baby, Jesus of Nazareth, and live this life that we're required to live, but don't. He lived it perfectly. He took upon Himself our sins, and He suffered and bled and died on the cross, paying the price for the sins of all who trust in Him. And then He rose again to show that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And this is, notice, it is the gospel of God. It is God who has done this. It is God who saves. Salvation is the work of God from beginning to end. We see that in the baptism when you see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all right there. Triune God entering upon the work of redeeming a people for Himself. This is the good news. The good news of salvation full and free in Jesus Christ. And it is the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand. God's rule, God's dominion, now being extended into the hearts and lives of all those who would trust in Him. You see, Jesus is coming and saying, the new age of salvation is here, and it is now. And for us who sit on this side of the cross and resurrection, how much more so is it that today is the day of salvation? Jesus announced these things in other places. He said, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. In his sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And later he says, there is no other name under heaven by which men may be saved than the name Jesus. This is the good news. You know, if Publishers Clearinghouse showed up at your door and you've won their whatever millions or however much per day, whatever it is, I don't know, would you slam the door in their faces? I mean, you've got, but here there's better news than that. Because money runs out. It doesn't matter whether it's $10 or $10 trillion, money runs out. But eternal life does not. Life in Christ does not. It gets richer and richer and fuller until the full light of day when we will see Jesus and be like him, because we will see him as he is. This is the message of the kingdom. That's good news. You don't have to pay for your own sins. Trust in Christ. But what are you going to do about it? And that brings us to the third observation, which is the call of the kingdom. The call of the kingdom. And the call of the kingdom is threefold. It's a threefold call. First, listen to what Jesus says here. He says, repent. Now, repentance gets a bad name. I don't know why. Because we know about repentance. If you take the wrong road when you're going somewhere, you repent of taking that road and you get on the right road, right? Repentance is a conversion. It's speaking of a change of heart, a change of mind. What Jesus is saying when he says repent is he is saying be converted. Be transformed. Be changed in heart and mind and conduct. That is, turn away from your own way of doing things. Remember, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to his own way, right? Turn away from your own way and turn to the Lord. But we'll get to that in a minute. This is repentance. Turning from your own way to God's way. It's a call to give up striving to be Lord over your own life and submit to the Lordship of Christ the King. It means accepting His solution for your problems. And that brings us to the second thing that Jesus says. He says, repent and believe in the gospel. Now, that English word believe gets a lot of different uses, doesn't it? You know, do you believe that I can turn a somersault? Okay, that's sort of an intellectual agreement, isn't it? Okay, yeah, I can accept that. Sure, absolutely. But that's not what the Bible's talking about. It's not talking about some kind of intellectual agreement to a set of facts. It's not talking about something that's temporary. Where, you know, you may see this, you know, people that are in trouble, we might call it foxhole faith, though not all foxhole faith is temporary. But people that are in trouble, you see them calling out to God, and lo and behold, they make it through the trouble, and then they forget about all the promises they made when they were in trouble. It's temporary. But when the Bible uses the word believe here, it is speaking more of what we might in English call trust. That is, Jesus is saying, put your full trust in Him and in His coming kingdom. And we know what it is to exercise trust. I did not see a single one of you check the pew before you sat in it to make sure that it hadn't been tampered with. Wow! What trust! But much more, when Jesus says, believe in the gospel, He is calling us to trust in Him and trust our lives, body, soul, and spirit, to Him. Put the full weight of our lives down upon Him. So Jesus calls us, and when as we hear this good news of the kingdom, He calls us to repent and trust, but then He calls us to follow. Look at verses 16 through 20. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow Me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed Him. Going on a little farther, He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately He called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed Him. You see, Jesus does not save His people so that they can just go on living their lives and be happy in Jesus. It is true that we come to Jesus just as we are. We even sing it, just as I am, right? But those who come to Jesus are not left as they are. When you come to Jesus, Jesus doesn't, as He walks away, say, as you were. He does not do that. He calls His people to follow Him. Peter and Simon and Andrew, John and James, they already knew Jesus. They had already spent time with Jesus. But now Jesus is coming along and He said, okay, it's time. It's time for you to follow Me. You see, the gospel call is to repent, believe, and follow, living a life of devoted service to Him. This is Hebrews 12. Since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising its shame. We set our eyes on Christ. We're to run the race following Him to glory. Notice what He says to the disciples. He says, I will make you become fishers of men. You're catching fish. I'm going to make you those who catch souls. I have in my office, it's not on the wall right now because I'm rearranging my office, but there's a picture of a eucalyptus tree on a ranch in Australia, and underneath the tree there's a scripture quote. Psalm 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. And this is the calling of Christ. Not just repent, trust, but follow. Jesus said to His disciples, you will be My witnesses and look at the response of those he called. Simon and Andrew leave their nets. They left work. They left everything and followed him. James and John, they left their nets. They left their family. Because there is one more important than jobs, than family, and that is the King. And when the King calls, how can the subjects not follow? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to turn to that, because my mind is not remembering what it says. 1 Corinthians 10:31, we read these words, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Whatever you do, this is following Christ. Do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, on the golf course, to the glory of God. Pickleball, to the glory of God. Driving a golf cart, to the glory of God. Taking your RV across country, to the glory of God. Working in your daily work, to the glory of God. Walking your dog, to the glory of God. And why? Why should we leave everything and follow Jesus? Because the kingdom of God is of such great value. Jesus said in two of his parables, this is a plug for the Sunday school class. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up." Can you imagine finding a treasure in a field? And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. That's what the kingdom of God is like. It is that treasure in the field. Sell everything to get it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. It was fashionable when I was in college among the Christian group that I spent time with to ask, "Are you sold out for Jesus?" Now, you smile at youthful zeal, but dear friends, we can be zealous for Christ no matter what age we are. Can you imagine? It's football season. Can you imagine a great football player, star quarterback, saying, "No, I think for this game, I think I'm going to sit up in the stadium and watch." What? It has been observed that Christianity is not a spectator sport. Dear friends, I hope and pray that you didn't come here this morning just to hear the poor mutterings of this preacher. But you came, even as this preacher preaches a word, you came to worship the living God, to follow Christ, to hear your King speak to you. The question is, are you in the game? Do you hear the call of the kingdom? Are you trusting in the King of the kingdom? Are you seeking to follow the King in all you do? We have ample opportunities to pursue Christ in this church. Through worship, Sunday school, dear friends, may I plug Sunday school again? You know, you think, I'm too old to go to school. Yeah, me too. But we need Jesus. And we come, and I encourage you as we start this new study to make a renewed commitment to be here, to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of Him. And and Bible study. We have women's Bible study. We have in two different times, same Bible study, two different times. We have pastor's Bible study, two different studies, same time. We have the women of faith meeting once a month. We have the men's breakfast starting in October. Dear friends, opportunities to be encouraged in your walk with the Lord, and you're encouraged in following Jesus. And indeed, opportunities to hear His voice, to know Him in fresh ways. This is following Christ and following Him out there in the world and interactions with your neighbors. Oh, may we all be so faithful in following Christ in our prayers, in our study of His Word, in our seeking of Him, and the evidences of that in our lives of compassion and grace and truth, that our neighbors come up to us and ask, "What's wrong with you?" And we can give them a reason for the hope that is within us. Do you hear the call of the kingdom? Are you answering it? Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, have mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we do look forward to the day when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He will reign forever and ever. And until then, O Lord, let Your reign be evident in our hearts. Father, help us as we come to Christ, repenting and trusting. And O Lord, our God, help us by Your grace to follow hard after Jesus, as becomes citizens of the kingdom of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.